Hey, good morning and welcome to Calvary Heights Baptist Church. We're glad that you are with us today and joining us for our continuation of our sermon series through the Gospel of Mark. Today we will be in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those. Open up to Mark chapter 4. If not, you can always follow along right here on the screen. But we will be in Mark 4, starting with verse 21. And this is Jesus talking, and he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him." Just four short verses today, but these are powerful verses that we're going to look at. So let's go ahead and have some time of prayer before we get diving right into the message. But that is our scripture for the day, so let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for this time that we have to be in your word, to be looking at the teachings of Jesus directly from him and what he has to say to us in our lives. Father, we ask that as we spend this time in the sermon today that you would just speak to our hearts, you would just open us up, illumine us, not just to what your word says, but to what your word asks us to do. Father, let us be doers of the word, not just hearers alone. Father, we just thank you so much for the truth that is the words of Jesus Christ in our lives. We just ask you to continue to speak it to us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we have Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25, and Jesus all of a sudden is talking about lamps. Now, we got to understand that Jesus is continuing here in his teaching through parables. Just last week, we looked at verses 1 through 20, and Jesus there was talking about seeds and soils and a sower and these farm analogies. And he's continuing to teach this way. He's continuing to teach through these everyday items that are around folks' home 2,000 years ago in the near Far East, kind of that near Middle Eastern area. And so, so as we think about that, Jesus is continuing to teach us through parables, and it's kind of an idea of a reminder about the characteristics of parables. We talked about these a little bit last week, but it's always good to be reminded about what parables kind of do. So there's several characteristics with parables. First is that parables provide us insight into the nature, coming, growth, and consummation of the kingdom of God. That's what parables are designed to do. They're designed to teach us something about the kingdom of God. Parables are by design provocative and surprising. Kind of the surprising twist in this particular parable is that somebody buys a lamp and then they go hide it. They stick it under a basket. They don't use a lamp for its intended purpose. That's kind of the surprise, well, why in the world would somebody do that, kind of moment in this parable. The third thing is that parables are used to stimulate thinking and cause contemplation within the hearer. That when we have parables, we're supposed to ponder these for a little bit longer. It's not just something that goes in. I love that Jesus opens every parable with, make sure you're listening. Anyone who has ears, make sure you're listening to this. Pay close attention to this. Jesus says that a lot, that we're to think about these a little bit more. Parables use everyday items to teach a spiritual truth with that twist. And so we're going to look at that as well today. Parables reveal more truth for those who are receptive, yet hide truth from others. And Jesus really gets into this in the second half of this particular parable about how that works. He's going to really be kind of looking at that a little bit. Again, an interesting fact, parables make up 35% of Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. Over a third of all that Jesus teaches us in the gospel come in the form of parables. So for us to not pay attention to parables, to not understand them, to not look at them, means we're going to miss a third of the Savior's teaching. So that's why it's so very important for us to really heed and pay close attention to parables. Parables typically focus on a single truth. We should not make parables allegories. It means we shouldn't go digging into trying to find significance of every little word. Just look at the parable. What does the parable say? There's a single focus of truth in there, and we need to look for that. And the last thing we talk about when we talk about parables is that parables point out to us that Jesus is God's Messiah, and they really call us to make a personal decision concerning him. And that's going to be an important part of what we do. All right, so let's take a look. Jesus here is teaching still alone, kind of amongst his closest friends. Remember that Jesus was teaching in these parables intentionally. Earlier in the chapter, he had a large group gathered around with him. And then it says when we get to about verse 10 that he took the 12 aside. And there were just a handful of folks following him with the 12. So at this point, he's still teaching to a smaller group. He's not teaching to a large group here. This isn't a crowd where he has to get out on a boat. This is a small, kind of intimate Bible study in some regard, that those who desire more of Jesus and more of his teachings are going to receive this insight into the kingdom of God through these parables. And those who are kind of outside of that, they're going to only get more parables and they're not going to get explanations. And so this parable here in particular is taught to that inner circle, that Jesus has at this point kind of retreated from that large crowd. He's with his apostles and a small group of these faithful followers. And he asked this really interesting question in verse 21. He says, when you buy a lamp, do you hide it or do you show it? Now, that's the Pratt paraphrase, but it's really what he's asking. Do you buy a lamp to hide it or show it? See, lamps are designed for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to illumine things and to allow things to be seen, to expose things that would have been hidden in the darkness. You know, when you get up in the morning and you go to brush your teeth, if you're getting up as early as some of us do on a normal day, you got to turn on a light or you're going to stub your toe. And that's what it is. A lamp here is not designed to be hidden. We put a lamp out so that it's useful to us. And he kind of continues with this teaching as he's talking about the lamps, in that the hidden things are going to be secret, right? He continues to teach this, and he's about the things he says that will be made manifest and the secrets that will come to light. I remember staying in a dorm room at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary 20-plus years ago now, and I remember turning on the light and thinking it may have been better at that time to have left the room dark when we got in. That it was just kind of like, oh, it's kind of dingy. It's not been painted in a while. You couldn't see those things in the darkness. You could definitely see them when we turned on what little bit of light was in that dorm room. So we got to kind of remember that that's something that's going to happen. Hidden things will come to light. Secret things will come to light when they're exposed to the light coming from the lamp. And so he's teaching in these parables to teach us a truth about the kingdom of God. The truth here is that the messianic rule of God will show off the hard-hardened, the hard-hearted. It will expose hidden sin to people. It will expose a false righteousness. And everything that was hidden will become made apparent. Like this is, nothing is going to be hidden from the light that is Jesus Christ. That it's all going to be made open and apparent. And this is really a parable we got to understand. He's just come from teaching us this parable about the sower, and he's continuing on with this. So we talk about this. So in the parable of the sower, Jesus teaches the parable. Then he takes folks aside, and then he gives an explanation. Really, these parables, the parable about the lamps, as we continue on with Mark chapter 4, the parable of the seeds and the mustard seed, they're kind of a continuation of the explanation of the parable of the sower. He's explaining another parable in parables. It's a continuation of all of that teaching. And so here he's doing this. This is a parable that's a central theme here, right? The parable has a central theme of the importance of responding in faith to the word of God. In the parable of the sower, the seed was the word. Here we're going to talk about it being the light. So when we hear the gospel, we must respond. We either respond in faith, surrendering to God, or we respond by ignoring the truth and rebelling against the word of God. And there's really no in between. It's one or the other. And when we think about what's here, we think about this parable, how Jesus is teaching it. I can't even imagine like how ridiculous the question must have sounded to those gathered with Jesus. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? That's what he says, isn't it? Right? This is the exact opposite of what we do when we buy a lamp. You know, we also have to kind of stop and think about what lamps are like in the time of Jesus. I love the fact that we've got an illustration here on the screen of what one of these lamps looked like. It was a little clay pot, and you filled it with oil, and you put in a piece of rope or a piece of wick, and you would light it. This was an open flame lamp, right? There were no incandescent bulbs. There were no LEDs. There's no compact fluorescent. This was an open flame lamp. So we're talking about this oil lamp with an open flame. And so we think about the idea of hiding that. It's just absolutely utterly absurd. I put a lamp like this under my bed, I'm going to set my bed on fire. I put a lamp like this underneath of my basket, I'm going to set the basket on fire. Right? This would make no sense to hide that lamp in that manner. See, the lamp here is a reference to Jesus himself. Jesus has come to reveal truth. Just like a lamp reveals the things in a room that we cannot see in the darkness, Jesus comes to reveal truth to the people around. Jesus has come to enlighten minds. Jesus has come to conquer darkness. And that's so important for us to see, that Jesus reveals everything. So there's no way we can hide things from God. Now, we might say that it all comes out in the wash at the end, but Jesus would say, no, it all comes out in the light. And that's really important for us to see here, that the light is so important. See, to have a lamp and to not let it shine is really a misuse of the lamp. I can't imagine having a lamp or having a house where I have a lamp and I never turn it on. I never put a bulb in it. I never do anything with it. That's a complete misuse of the lamp. And for us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ right now, and for you to have Jesus in your life and to not let him shine through you, is a complete and utter misuse of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you're missing the point. Just like if you have the word of God, like the sower had it, and the sower went out and he just sowed the seed everywhere. If we're not sharing what we know to be true, it's a misuse of what we have been given. We've got to be cautious of that. Jesus kind of closes out here by saying this, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. This idea of ears to hear requires a surrender and a submission to a holy and just God. Rather than being proud and self-reliant, right? Right now we're seeing a lot about being proud and self-reliant in the world around us. To think about that, here it's the hearing of the word and living it out are incredibly important to us, but it requires a surrender and a submission to God to do that. It really almost requires us to have a new set of ears for us to be able to truly hear. A new set of spiritual ears that only God can give us when we surrender to him will we be able to hear in that. And having that new set of ears is going to be absolutely essential to what happens in our lives and how we work on it. Verse 24, he says again to pay attention, right? He reiterates, pay attention to the word. And he points out how closely you pay attention and how that matters, right? The closer you pay attention, the better it is going to be for you. Jesus uses the word measure here. Measure here kind of refers to the attitude with which you receive the word of God. It's not just whether or not you're listening. Well, I got that. I'll write that down. I'll take notes. No, it's are you really receiving it? What's your attitude when you receive it? See, if you embrace the message of Jesus Christ in a real way, you're going to receive more of it. See, God will take up residence in your heart, and he will give you more understanding and blessing, not just here on earth, but also in the age to come. See, if your hearing is good and you are receptive to the word of God, you will receive it back, and you will even get more than what you give. I love, as we've been reading through in the mornings at 8 o'clock, we've been doing Coffee with Calvary Heights, and we've been reading through the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 9:9, it says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and his learning will increase. So when we respond to God's truth, more truth will follow us. We'll get more of it. We'll embrace it. When we embrace the kingdom of God, we'll get more of the kingdom of God, right? If we embrace the kingdom of God now, while it's small, then we'll wind up sharing in the kingdom of God when it becomes universal, when it's fully consummated by the second coming of our Lord and Savior. Oh, those are just neat concepts, neat ideas for us to really hold on to. See, verse 25 kind of then says something else, though. It's the converse of what we see in verse 24. In verse 25, it's, "And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." This is a radical contrast to the one who receives the word. The one who receives the word gets more blessing on them, right? And then they want the word more, and it just keeps going that way. But here it says, when you refuse Jesus and his word, you lose what little bit you may have already had. Now, understand this. This is really important for us to kind of get. Understand this, that you cannot hear the word of God once and expect to live on it the rest of your life. You can't hear the gospel once and expect that to carry you between now and eternity. You can't hear the word of God once and expect it to live on that the rest of your life. You can't have heard it in Vacation Bible School back in 1983 and expect to be okay now. You can't have heard it back in weekday religious education back in 1986 and expect it to just, that's it, that's all I needed. It's not how it works. See, there's no way that. You can't keep going. You have to keep going back to the word, and you have to be replenished. You have to keep feeding on the word of God to be able to move forward. See, we either move forward in the things of God or we move backward. There's no neutral in this. The more you hear, the more you receive. The less you hear, the more is taken away. Now, get this, that this is easy, and we got to be cautious here. That it's real easy to fall into a pattern of laziness when it comes to your personal study and time spent in the Word. And when you get lazy in your personal study, you get lazy in your time spent in the Word, you go backwards when this happens. See, you can't live on last week's sermon. You're not going to make it week to week and week. That's not how it is. You can't be sustained today on the devotional time you did yesterday. That's not how it's going to work. See, this is one of the most important principles of our spiritual lives. We go back to verse 13 of this particular chapter, and Jesus reminds us that these parables that he's given right here in Mark chapter 4 are the most basic of the parables. If we don't get these parables now, we don't understand the gospel in the rest of the book. So there's huge amounts of what's at stake here. Your spiritual well-being and your spiritual eternity are at stake here. How you respond to Jesus day to day is of the utmost importance. Now, I think about this. This is one of the things, especially now in this particular time, that we're thinking about this more and more and more. How much we wouldn't take any of our earthly relationships for granted, right? We're not taking those for granted. We're not just thinking, well, there it is. We're concerned about them. We're worried about them. We're trying to reach out as much as we can. We're doing all these different things to make sure that our earthly relationships are maintained and strong while we're separated from one another due to social distancing because of COVID-19. But yet, we are so willing to take our relationship with our Savior for granted. We are. We're willing to get lazy in our relationship with Jesus. We're willing to get lazy in our relationship with a holy and just God. That relationship is so much more important than our relationships here on earth. And we're willing to kind of let it go by the wayside. Don't do it. Do not do that. Do not take your relationship with Jesus for granted. That's what he's saying here. See, if you hide your relationship with Jesus through neglect of the word, through neglect of sharing the gospel, through neglect of spending time with him, you are misusing the gospel of Jesus Christ that was put into your heart. And that's important for us to see that Jesus is this light of the world. And when we don't share him out as believers in Christ, we are misusing what he has given us. And we've got to not do that. You'll notice that the slide here is kind of the slide I've been showing for a while. This is a way to present the gospel to people. And if you guys like, man, you've shown this like three times now. Yeah, I have. And I'm going to continue to show it because I think it's good. It's a tool that any believer can use to help share the gospel. It's real easy to download. It's called the Life on Mission app. And this is just kind of a screenshot of what it does. And it walks you through how to share the gospel with somebody else so that you're not misusing the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. And it'll even walk you through what you need to say. There's a tutorial. And you can walk yourself through the tutorial. And it's great. And it talks about God's design in our lives. Now, again, we kind of go back to the garden with this. In the beginning, God created the earth, and it was good. And not was it just good, it was perfect. And that was God's design, that man and mankind could just have fellowship with him in the garden and not be ashamed by anything. And it was close fellowship. God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve until Adam and Eve were deceived and they sinned. And that sin brought about, missed the click. That sin in our lives brought about brokenness. Now, that sin isn't just not doing what we wanted or not doing what God has. It's bigger than that. It separates us, right? It's us ignoring God's purpose and his design. It's us selfishly rebelling against a holy and just God. That's what sin is. That we purposefully, since Adam and Eve, don't go for the things of God. We go for the things of self. When we look at Adam and Eve's original sin, is they did something simple. Don't eat from the tree here. That's all I'm asking you to do. You have no other rules to live by except don't eat from this one tree. And they selfishly went ahead and ate from that one tree. And at that point on, we have all been seeking to serve ourselves rather than serving God. And that's what brings us to brokenness in our lives. That we're broken. We want to not be broken anymore. And so we go looking around for all these ways to not be broken. And we start looking all these different directions to do it, right? Romans 1:25 says that we exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and we worshiped and served something created instead of worshiping and serving the Creator. And that's fundamentally what sin is. When we place the created above the Creator. And it leads to us having a broken life. And the only way to fix a broken life is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we've heard it. Here it is, Jesus Christ, a man who was sent by God, Son of God, part of the Holy Trinity, gave up what he had in heaven to live amongst us and live like us, to be tempted in every manner that you and I were tempted, and yet have no sin in his life, to pay for our sins by being the holy sacrifice we could not be, to be a once and for all sacrifice for us, to die on the cross, to pay for us, to atone for us, and then to rise again on the third day. That's the gospel message, that God loved us so much. He didn't leave us in our brokenness. He didn't want us there. He had a plan. So Jesus, who was God in human flesh, came to us and lived perfectly according to God's design. And he came to rescue us, to pay for the price of sin that we couldn't afford to pay. He took our sin. He took our shame. It was nailed to the cross with him. And when he was raised from the dead, it provides a way for us to be restored back to a relationship with God. And that's important for us to know, that that's the gospel message. And we as believers in Christ are called to live that, to share that, to tell others. I love what Colossians 2:14 says, that he erased the certificate of debt. You and I owed God a debt because of our sin. And Jesus, in paying the sacrifice for us, erased that debt. And it's taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. That his sacrifice did that for us. And then we simply repent and believe. Now, this is where it's a little different here, that we repent and believe. Repent is a fancy church word sometimes, and we use it. And it just means to turn from it. that we believe what Jesus Christ says about himself. We believe what the Word of God says about who Jesus Christ is, and we turn from it. But we don't want to naturally turn from it. The Holy Spirit working in us will turn us from it. We cry out, God, I don't want this anymore. Fix it for me. I can't fix it myself. Transmission goes bad on my car. I can't fix it. I wish I could. I can't. I got to call a transmission guy. Well, sin in my life, I can't fix. I got to call a sin guy who can fix it. Well, that sin guy is Jesus Christ. He will fix it for me. I just cry out to him, repent and believe, and he will turn me from that. See, just hearing the good news, hearing that gospel message isn't enough. We have to admit our sinfulness. We have to admit our brokenness. We have to stop trusting in who we are and start trusting in who God is. So we don't have the power to escape that brokenness. We have to be rescued. We just cry out to God to forgive us. We turn from our sin and trust only in Jesus, and that's what it means when we say we repent and we believe. Believing, we receive new life through Jesus Christ, and God turns our lives in a new direction. We've already seen it in Mark chapter 1 with verse 15. It says, repent and believe in the good news, right? And in Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be rescued from your own selfish, sinful nature. God will do that. He will hear you and rescue you. And then we talk about this idea of recover and pursue. So when we hear that gospel, when we call out and we say, I want this, forgive me, God, where I have failed you, God will restore our relationship to him. Now, it's a process. It's not just boom and you're done. He'll begin to discover that meaning and what it means to be in a broken world. We'll start to see that. We'll start to work ourselves towards knowing what God's design is. And the Holy Spirit will empower us to pursue into his design. And he's going to call us to see things. We're going to look for that. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. That God's going to start working in our lives. He's going to start changing us. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That Jesus will start to change our lives, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. That God had this plan for us, to change us, to make us good for his purposes. See, now that we've heard the good news, see, God wants us to respond to him. Now, I'm not going to tell you exactly what you need to pray. You know what's on your heart. If you're being convicted right now, if you're feeling the Holy Spirit working in your life, you already know what you need to cry out to God. All I'm asking you is to do it. Now, there's different ways you can do it. You can just say, my life's broken. I recognize it's because of my sin, and I need you, God. I believe that Jesus came to live, die, and was raised from the dead to rescue me from my sin. Just cry out, forgive me. I turn from my selfish ways, and I put my trust in you. Just say that I know that Jesus is Lord of all, and I will follow him. I remember sharing this truth about who God is with a woman one time, and I remember her just crying out, Jesus, fix me. I'm broke. Fix me. Something just that simple, an earnest, honest prayer unto God, asking for that. Scripture says, again, we already looked at Romans 10:9 once, but if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And then verse 10:13 in Romans, for everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. To just see these things is so important. Now, if you've called out and you've asked God to forgive you, or if you're already a believer, but you're not plugged into a local church, and you want to know how to develop a healthy relationship with God, you want to continue to pursue God, first thing we got to do is we got to pray. Talk about God with God, the things that matter to you. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have eloquent prayers. You don't have to have the King James prayer. You just have to have an open and honest heart before God, telling him what's on your heart, what's on your mind, what's important to you. He listens. He listens, and to take that time to do that. Then get plugged into a local church. Now, right now, it's a little tricky to be plugged into a local church, to find a church that's going to help you walk with that. But there are opportunities right now, even in a time of social distancing, you can do that. You can be a part of an online small group Bible study. You can be listening to sermons. But be local, a place that can help you out once this is all over and be with you to walk you through this. Spend time reading God's Word. The Bible reveals God's design to us. The Bible shows us the truth of God. And the last thing is share. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ already, and you're a longtime walker with Jesus, you fellowship with Him, or you're not sharing, that's misuse of your lamp. You've got to share what you've experienced through the good news of Jesus Christ. You've got to tell other people about it. We see some scripture here, John 20:31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in His name. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be provided to you. And Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, walk in Him. So it's so important for us to do. To turn it over. Now, if you've not had a relationship with Jesus Christ before and you want to know more about it, please send us a message. We will get back to you as soon as we can. We will talk to you today about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this week about how do I get from where I'm at now to sharing the gospel so that I'm not misusing what I've been given through Jesus Christ. How do I transition that? Pray about that. Ask, send us a message. We'll get a hold of you. We'll talk to you. We'll call. We'll FaceTime, whatever it takes. We want folks who love Jesus Christ sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want folks who don't know Jesus Christ to come to a knowledge of who He is. And not just a knowledge, but an understanding of God's design for them. And to come out of this ahead that way. Pray about that this week. Talk to us. Send us a message. Send us a comment. We want to get a hold of you. We want to talk to you. We want to pray with you if we can. Let's go ahead and have a time of prayer with the Lord, and we'll be closed out for today. Father, we just thank you again so much for the day you've given us. We thank you for blessing us, providing for us. We thank you for sharing the truth of your word in us. Father, if we know you, and we are not sharing what we know, if we are not sharing the word, if we are trying to hide our lamp under a bed or under a basket, if we're trying to not actively share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we know that we are misusing what you have given us. And Father, we see the warning that if we misuse what we have, it'll be taken from us. Father, I ask that not be the case for anyone who knows you who is listening right now. But Father, even more than that, I ask that as we have shared the message of Jesus Christ, that those who are listening and maybe have not really heard that message before, or have never really surrendered to that, that you move in their hearts and you move in them and you speak to them, that you get a hold of them and that you open them up to be receptive to the gospel message. Father, I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you coming in and joining us for our sermon stream. We ask you guys, if you have any questions, if you have any prayer concerns, anything like that, please message us those through Facebook Messenger. You can always send us an email at office@calvaryheights.org as well. We'd love to hear from you, and we are praying for you. We love you guys. Have a great day. God bless you. Hope to see you in person as soon as we can.
just for the elders that we met in last time. Okay. Put that stuff there, and it wouldn't be made available to the whole church.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, how good any of them are.